on Fillmore Street. This is FieldPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from the Lower Haight in San Francisco. Today is Thursday, the 3rd of March, 2016. On this date in 1776, the first amphibious landing of the United States Marine Corps begins in Nassau in the Bahamas. Actually, it was a raid to get gunpowder, but okay, whatever. 1820, U.S. Congress passes the Missouri Compromise. 1845, U.S. Congress overrides a presidential veto for the first time. And on that same day, Florida is admitted as the 27th United States. 1861, Alexander II of Russia signs the Emancipation Manifesto, freeing the serfs. 1885, the opening of the Hong Kong and Shanghai Banking Corporation, later to become HSBC Bank. 1875, the opera Carmen opens in Paris. And on that same day, in Montreal, hometown of author of this podcast, Ari Suiecka, history's first indoor game of ice hockey is played. 1887, Helen Keller meets the miracle worker who teaches her how to read and sign. 1918, Germany, Austria, and Russia signed the Treaty of Brest-Litovsk, ending Russia's involvement in the First World War, leading to independence for Finland, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Ukraine, and Poland. 1938, oil is discovered in Saudi Arabia. 1951, in Memphis, Tennessee, Ike Turner's band from Clarksdale, Mississippi, records what many say is the first rock and roll song, Rocket 88. 1991, an amateur video captures the beating of Rodney King by Los Angeles police officers. And on that same day, in concurrent referenda, 74% of the population of Latvia votes for independence from the Soviet Union and 83% of Estonia. 1912, 16 are killed when two trains crash in Poland, among them Maya Brand, who lived in Georgia, loved Georgia, and did a ton for the country. She will be remembered always. Birthdays are Alexander Graham Bell, Jean Harlow, and Jessica Biel. It is Mother's Day in Georgia and Martyr's Day in Malawi. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. By the way, we're trying a new recording mechanism. Let me know how it sounds, if it's better, worse, or different. Thanks again for those posting on the forum, particularly Oliver, saying that Telenor owns 48% of Vimpelcom, and so it's not officially controlled by the Kremlin. True, but I've heard they're selling it. So that's what I've heard. Keep those questions and answers coming. Particularly interested in hearing from those who are at the Panorama demonstration with thoughts and observations. Thanks for being there. On to the news. About 400 people came out to protest against Panorama Tbilisi on Saturday, the 27th of February. The protest was organized by a coalition of more than 20 organizations, social movements under the banner ERTAD, or Together. The activists marched from Freedom Square to the state chancellery. They held posters with the slogan Panorama, emphasizing the no in English. They're angry because the construction works are continuing, and they say that there was no input or dialogue citizens about it. It's being run according to the desires of one person, Bidzina Ivanishvili. A reminder, Panorama Tbilisi Project is managed by the Georgian Co-Investment Fund, which was established by Bidzina in 2013, and is a massive project they're building in the hills around Old Tbilisi and Sololaki. Critics argue that the project is not ecologically sustainable, that it will destroy the old city, that a lot of historical houses in the old part of town will have to be torn down to make way for the massive structure and for planned cable cars. Also, that the old city will no longer be eligible to be a UNESCO World Heritage Site, which was proposed in 2007. Article by Ben Knight from 2-3 months ago describes how massive the project will be. It's a $500 million project, and Bidzina is basically the only investor. It will be a multifunctional complex that will include a 1,000-seat conference center, modern apartments, underground parking spaces, commercial assets, tennis courts, basketball and football halls, open and closed swimming pools, cafe bars and restaurants, educational and tourism assets, planetarium and aquarium. We'll link to Ben Knight's piece. Observers and critics have also noted that Tbilisi City Hall has recently appointed a number of officials who used to work for Bidzina's Kartu Bank. They've come into office saying they will quickly enact infrastructure projects, and that raises questions about a possible conflict of interest with Panorama Tbilisi, and also that Bidzina is exerting strong influence over local government. On the 26th of February, Alexei Petriashvili, one of the leaders of the Free Democrats Party, was beaten and shot in Tbilisi by still unknown perpetrators. Two men with bats came and beat him, and then he was shot in the lower body. Petriashvili underwent immediate surgery, but doctors later said that they believe he will fully recover. They removed two bullets from his lower limbs. There was one near his kidneys, which they did not remove. Petriashvili and three friends were at a cemetery in Sabartalo visiting the grave of late diplomat Levon Mikheladze when he was attacked. The Interior Ministry said it opened an investigation for intentional infliction of grave injury. As a reminder, Petriashvili was state minister for Euro-Atlantic integration. He resigned in November 2014 when Irakli Alassania, leader of the Free Democrats, was fired as Minister of Defense. Free Democrats then left the Georgian Dream, or Otsneba Coalition. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili immediately expressed that he was extremely concerned over the attack on Petriashvili and that they will arrest the perpetrators and bring them to justice in the shortest period of time. From the hospital, Petriashvili related that the attack was carried out by two well-trained unknown men. Their faces were covered. Police have not reported anything about the attackers' identities. Media was quick to report speculation that this is an attack on Petriashvili and was connected with his personal life. Petriashvili recently got married in October 2015 to a well-known journalist. There's talk that this was a revenge attack from her ex-boyfriend. Petriashvili's wife and the Free Democrats want the investigation to be treated as an attempted murder, which it clearly was, not just infliction of grave injury. Others have said less intelligent things. For example, Nukri Kantaria said that the attack was not an attempted murder because people armed with bats and guns do not go to kill people. Petriashvili underwent surgery again on the 28th of February, 2 days after the attack, because of complications from one of the wounds. Doctors said that he is in satisfactory condition. On the 2nd of March, the Tbilisi District Court revoked the construction permit for the Budapest Hotel, which was supposed to be built in Vake Park. Several NGOs, such as Guerrilla Gardening and Green Alternative, had filed lawsuits in court against the construction of the hotel in early 2014. The activists had been campaigning for 2 years to halt the construction through creative protests at Tbilisi City Hall and camping out for months in Vake Park in 2014. The Tbilisi Municipality Architecture Department is working with the Urban Management and Development Group in creating bike paths throughout Tbilisi. For now, they are working on three paths, one in Sabartalo that will go from Vajapshavela to Kaftaradze Street, to Kazbegi Street, to Pekini, one in the Vake Vera that would be from Chachavadze Avenue to Melikashvili Street and then to Rustaveli Avenue. Then one from Freedom Square that will go down Pushkin Street, Baratashvili, and eventually to the Rije. It's all in the design stage, and there will be a trial. Paths might also connect through parks, although it's not known when they will launch. On the 26th of February, there were protests in Tbilisi in support of the coal miners on strike in Tribouli. The miners' strike was highly covered on TV. There was a video circulating around Facebook, shared over 12,000 times, of a miner with his young son saying how desperate their situation was. People were obviously moved by it. We'll put it in the link down below. About 200 people demonstrated outside the headquarters of the company that operates the mine, the Georgian Industrial Group, in Nutsobidze Plateau in Tbilisi. About the actual state of the strike, after days of negotiations, a solution was finally reached in the evening of the 29th of February. Georgian Trade Union, member of parliament for Tribouli, the local municipality, strike committee, and the company that runs the mine, Georgian Industrial Group, or GIG, were all involved. As a reminder, the strike began in mid-February. The coal miners were demanding a 40% pay increase and improved working conditions. Earlier in the week, GIG was not compromising on the pay raise, and the miners in Tribouli, along with activists that came in from Tbilisi, temporarily broke into the GIG office. Negotiations resumed the day after. GIG offered a 5% increase. Miners rejected. Negotiations continued. One of President Mark Velashvili's advisors went. There was talk of an agreement from 2011 when Tribouli miners were on strike then. According to the 2011 agreement, the company committed to adjusting wages to match inflation. But that wasn't happening. So finally, there's an agreement that was reached. GIG agreed to gradually increase workers' salaries by 10%. They will revise working conditions and will partly compensate for the days the workers were absent. In other industrial news, the Azoti chemical plant in Rustavi, which produces mineral fertilizers, among other products, is shutting down for a month. They said they've been negotiating with SOCAR to try and lower the gas price. They use tons of gas, but their competitors, lower prices, all very complicated. They need to shut out. Appears the European Commission will offer visa-free travel to Georgia, but it will be delayed for Ukraine. According to EU officials, as a reminder, in December 2015, the European Commission said that the VLAP report that both countries had fulfilled the criteria to qualify for visa-free travel. A few Georgian parliamentarians wrote on their Facebook on the 1st of March saying that they were expected the next day for the European Commission to publish the document about visa-free travel for Georgians to Schengen countries. There was a confrontation between Orthodox Christians and Muslims over the plot of land in a cemetery in Adigeni in the Samska Javacheti region. On the 29th of February, both Muslims and Orthodox live in the village. The Muslim population came from Ajada to the village over two decades ago. Last year, the Muslim community made a request for a piece of land from the cemetery to make their own separate cemetery. Some locals from the Christian community opposed. The issue was referred to the State Agency of Religious Issues. Now, in February, the agency recommended allocating a plot of land for a Muslim cemetery. According to local media, on the 29th, the head of the municipality came to the village to discuss it when local Muslims were attacked by a group of young men from the local Christian community. Not so Christian, that. Ministry of Interior opened an investigation for the persecution because of a person's opinion, faith, or political activities, which is a specific crime, but no one was arrested. Tensions remain high. On the 2nd of March, the conflict seemed to have been resolved. There was a meeting with the Christians and Muslim clerics, local government. Two communities agreed to expand the existing cemetery to an adjacent plot of land to serve as a cemetery for the local Muslim community. Prosecutor General's office has launched an investigation into election fraud surrounding the members of parliament by-elections. It was held in Sagarejo in October last year. As a reminder, earlier in February, Gogi Topadze, the leader of the Industry Will Save Georgia party, which is part of the Otsneba coalition, claimed the defense minister, Tiniko Khidasheli, used the ministry's resources and fabricated the results of the by-election. The Republican Party has responded that Topadze's remarks are an attack on the country's pro-Western foreign policy course. The two factions in Otsneba have been fighting and accusing each other back and forth ever since. Finally, on the 3rd of March, Prime Minister Kvitekashvili said in a written statement that the ongoing political confrontation between the Republicans and industrial parties is completely unacceptable. He criticized both and called on them to address their differences behind closed doors, warned that otherwise he will have to carry out changes to provide for the stable functioning of the government. Following up on gas, on the 29th of February, there's a meeting of the Southern Gas Corridor Advisory Council in Baku. Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze attended and proposed. Through SOCAR, Georgia will receive an additional 500 million cubic meters of natural gas from Azerbaijan. It's Shakhmaniz gas. SOCAR said they previously did not have the technical opportunities to increase this gas supply. Pure Valley Radio reported that former First Lady Sandra Roloffs, Misha's wife, is the national movement's number one candidate to lead the party list for the upcoming elections. Following up on Abkhazia's electricity, Deputy Minister Mariam Valishvili announced that Georgia is now importing electricity from Russia for Abkhazia at a very preferential price. She said that it is a short-term solution expected until the 1st of April. As a reminder, Abkhazia was having power cuts in the past 2 months because of low water levels at the Nguri Dam, from which it gets all its electricity. So now Georgia has to import additional electricity from Russia. Following up on foreign travel, Spain's foreign minister was on an official visit to Tbilisi this past week. Foreign Minister Misha Janelidze spoke at the UN Human Rights Council's high-level segment in Geneva about what Russia is doing in Abkhazia and South Ossetia. Then on the 2nd of March, he went to Brussels for the NATO-Georgia Commission, met with NATO Secretary General Alexander Verspo. Verspo underscored NATO's readiness to explore ways to strengthen NATO's cooperation with Georgia. NATO said in a press release, regarding Foreign Minister John Alidze, there are rumors that he will soon resign from his post and move back to the Ministry of Economy. As a reminder, he was in the economy ministry before under Kvitikashvili, and then Kvitikashvili became foreign minister, so John Alidze moved to the foreign ministry as well. Government is expanding the Produce in Georgia program and will have subcategory Host in Georgia, encouraging people to open hotels and develop hospitality industry in the regions. The state will co-finance entrepreneurs building new hotels in any area of Georgia except Tbilisi and Batumi. For the first 2 years, the government will pay 50% of the bank loans and the interest rates for people who took loans for their hotel projects. And last week, the government introduced a development plan for Bakhmaro in the mountains of Guria to make it into a proper winter resort. They plan to build good roads, fix the water infrastructure, and supply the village with natural gas and electricity. Tbilisi City Hall Municipal Improvement Service got more details for the two-way flyover street they are now constructing at Pushkin near Freedom Square. The project will cost close to 4 million lari, should be completed by July 2016. The road will be above the historic exposed Tbilisi settlement on Pushkin Street, so that'll still be there. I don't know about flyovers. The European Commission Against Racism and Intolerance, which is the Council of Europe's human rights body, released a report on Georgia. It overall says that despite some progress on anti-discrimination policies and legislation, hate speech and violence against religious and sexual minority groups occur with worrying frequency, and that the authorities' response to those incidents cannot be considered adequate. Georgia successfully completed the third and final round of negotiations with the European Free Trade Association, which encompasses Switzerland, Norway, Iceland, and Liechtenstein. Free trade deal will be officially signed in June from 2017. Georgia will be able to export to the four countries without custom fees. The government is expected to approve a $5 billion project in Gonio, Ajada, to build a free industrial zone over a 300-hectare plot of land. The plan is called the Black Sea Pearl Project and is designed by the International Center for Business and Tourism. $5 billion, a lot of money. President Margvelashvili pardoned 155 prisoners. The German government will allocate 3.2 million euros to construct a new building of the German International School in Bagebi in Tbilisi. There's an ongoing public debate in Georgia about the Society and Me curriculum the Ministry of Education is supposed to start, especially because there's a part of it that talks about gender and gender equality. Some politicians and members of parliament were coming out against it because on GDS TV show 2030 saying how the curriculum there is planned, role-playing where kids are supposed to imagine they are the opposite gender, etc., etc. And that's bad because it will turn kids gay, because that's how it works. Ballerina Nino Ananiashvili, who is the artistic director of Georgian State Ballet, is being criticized in Georgia by the National Movement for performing at the Bolshoi Theater in Moscow on the 25th of February, which marks Soviet Occupation Day in Georgia. She was taking part in a concert held in commemoration of her late mentor, Soviet-era dancer Raisa Sturchkova. There's a special memorial at Bagram Air Force Base in Afghanistan for Georgian Private First Class Vasil Kuljanishvili, who was killed in September 2015 in an attack while on patrol for the NATO-led Resolute Support Mission. Neighboring news, Ukraine's song choice for the 2016 Eurovision is called 1944 by Crimean singer Jamala. It's how Stalin deported the Tatars from Crimea to Central Asia. Many see the anti-Stalin song as a veil for an anti-Putin song, and that it will bring international attention to the oppression of Tatars in Crimea 2014 to 2016. Russian officials are saying Jamala should be kicked out for being political. Eurovision is reviewing all the songs in mid-March. News portal Global Voices notes that the entries in previous years that were deemed controversial were either banned or asked to alter their lyrics, most notably Georgia's entry from 2009, right after the August 2008 war, with the song We Don't Wanna Put In, so they were barred from participating. Also, it was a horrible song. The regional court in Sikhnahi is considering a case of a 25-year-old man who married a 15-year-old girl who is now pregnant. They had appeared on an Ahmadi TV talk show about it, apparently not realizing it was illegal. Minister of Culture is speculating that maybe they found Pir Osmani's tombstone. A journalist found a tombstone at the Kukia graveyard with the inscription, "God, pardon Nikala." The Lelos, Georgia's national rugby team, defeated Spain 38-7 in their third game for the 2016 European Nations Cup. The match was in Tbilisi. People were very excited. World Rugby, the international governing body for rugby union, updated its world's rankings. Georgia now ranks 13th in the world, one ahead of its previous position at 14. A Georgian mother and son will both compete in the 2016 Summer Olympic Games in Brazil. The mother is shooter Nino Salokwadze. She's a three-time Olympic medal winner, and her son Sotne Machavadiani is also shooting. The new Tbilisi Sports Palace will host the Davis Cup for tennis from the 4th to 6th of March. The Georgian players will be playing Denmark. This is the new sports palace that opened in July 2016 for the European Youth Olympics Festival. And concerning the old sports palace in Sabartalo, Ajatabet is hosting the first ever World Series of Poker in Georgia from the 3rd to the 9th of March. Lots of famous poker players in town. Marseille's Museum of European and Mediterranean Civilizations opened a permanent corner dedicated to the traditional Georgian winemaking method. On that note, as of the 1st of March, the UN in Geneva will have on display a traditional Georgian kvevedi in its courtyard. Two European broadcasters, 3SAT Central European and RTV Slovenia, will air the documentary film about Georgian skateboarders, When the Earth Seems to be Light. The film also screened at the 2016 Istanbul Independent Film Festival at the end of February. A 15-hectare tea plantation in the village of Etsera in Samegrelo will be restored within the framework of the Georgian Tea Program, which was created by the Agriculture and Economy Ministries in November 2015. The first step is supporting the production of good quality tea, then to support small tea processing businesses and launch certification programs. There's a renovation project to fix a 3.5-kilometer section of rough road near Kareli in the Shitakartli region that leads to the 13th-century Kintsvisi Monastery. The church has a fresco of an archangel made using a rare natural ultramarine paint. The road restoration works are expected to finish June 2016. Mamuka Gorgadze is being praised in French and British media after performing first aid on a fellow team member who was having serious medical problems while they were on their bus ride. In February, Kanye West tweeted that he's going to steal Demna from Balenciaga. That's Georgian designer Demna Gvasalia. Parliamentary news, following up on previous stories, on the 2nd of March, Parliament confirmed former International Monetary Fund economist Koba Gwenatadze as the new member of the central bank's board. He was approved with 81 votes. It will be up to the 7-member board to pick the new president of the central bank along with its members, which will then require approval from President Mark Velashvili. Some Otsneba members were hesitant during hearings to show support for Gwenatadze, reportedly because he is in favor of the central bank keeping its banking supervisory function. Remember that in July 2015, Parliament adopted a bill removing the banking supervisory functions from the National Bank and transferring them to a separate agency, despite widespread criticism. President Mark Velashvili vetoed the bill, then Parliament overturned the veto. The bill was then taken to the Constitutional Court, which suspended its enforcement pending final verdict. In relation to the Tribouli miner strike, we discussed earlier, members of Parliament are introducing a draft bill to amend the tax code to extend the mountain settlement advantages to villages and towns which did previously have that status before there were changes in January 2016, meaning a month ago. Mountain villages get special income tax status. For example, they only have to pay 10% income tax instead of 20%, and Tribouli previously had that status but then lost it. That's part of the reason why the coal miners were protesting. Tribouli would be on the new list. Parliament is discussing and considering the bill in a fast-track procedure. The meme this week is a new Instagram account, Cheese Boat NYC, They Photoshop an Ajaruli Khachapuri into famous movie scenes. Eater magazine reported. Stuff to read. BBC report talks with Rehan Dimitriye, who is the BBC correspondent in Tbilisi, about the Panorama Tbilisi protests, why people are against it. They're trying to get the government involved to listen to them, help stop the project rather than allow Bidzina to go ahead with it. Ben Knight talks about Panorama, we mentioned earlier. Kremlin watcher Nina Jobe writes in her blog about the arguments against Panorama Tbilisi and also the deal with putting people in Tbilisi City Hall to carry it out and to promote Ivanishvili's personal agenda. Michael Cicere for Foreign Policy writes about the shooting of opposition politician Alexei Petriashvili, speculating that it will aggravate political divides in the pre-election period. Luis Navarro, who was head of NDI Georgia for 5 years, presents what Georgia needs to do to join the West. He says that there's a lot of focus on what the national movement did wrong, but it's ignored that Bidzina's Georgian dream had continued with the worst of the Misha-era practices, such as undue pressure on the opposition, unequal application of the law, lack of an impartial, effective campaign finance monitoring vehicle. It's a long piece with lots of details of the political fighting in Georgia over the past 4 years. Concrete recommendations, Navarro says, that they have to have a healthy election in 2016. The government should empower either the state audit agency or the Central Elections Commission to have both the resources and independence to conduct real oversight of both government fiscal management and campaign finance enforcement, and also to stop the double standard when it comes to dealing with law enforcement, opposition competition, and media freedom. Video shared on Facebook of the distraught Tbilisi miner strikers, as mentioned earlier. CRC advocates that there needs to be more efforts to keep Georgians informed about the EU, mostly through television. All this stuff to read will be posted on our forum. This week's dive bar number is 33. This is the number of men from Pankhizi Gorge who have signed up and were approved to join the military. The Defense Ministry just finished up a 2-week recruitment drive in Pankhizi in a bid to offer professional employment and overall motivation and to prevent people from joining Islamic groups. From the 9th to the 18th of March, there's the EU Film Festival in Tbilisi, Kutaisi, and Bolnisi, Rustavi, even Mestia. Go to eufilm.ge for more information and schedules. If you're in London on the 17th of March, pianist Marina Nadiradze will be performing at the London School of Economics Shaw Library at 1 p.m. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. Our email is tpilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tpilpod.com. And as mentioned, from 1951, this is Ike Turner's band, All Teenagers, Rocket 88.
Women have heard of jalopies, you've heard the noise they make, but let me introduce my new Rocket 88. Yes, it's straight, just one way. Everybody likes my Rocket 88. Baby, we'll ride in style, moving all along. Smart and designed, black convertible top, and the gals don't mind. Sporting with me, riding all around town for joy. Blow your horn, Raymond, blow! yourself in my rocket and don't be late. Baby, we're pulling out about half past eight. Going round the corner and get a bill. Everybody in my car's gonna take a little nip. Move on out, oozing and grooving.